Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Good songs. God lifting us up, setting us apart. Remember, we're not better than anybody. We've been called out. We've been set apart. It's a really neat picture of thinking about being in the sinking sands of sin and God lifting us up out of that. And remember, it's always easy to slip down and back into those old lifestyles and lifestyle traits. That's why we have to focus on affections, on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Hope you have your Bibles tonight, and if you do, turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 21 through 26 tonight in a message titled, To Live as Christ. I love Philippians is a great book. Of course, what Ephesians is too. You know, you start going like that, and you can end up, every time I get up here, saying one of my favorites. They're all my favorites. God's Word is awesome. God's Word's living. God's Word is convicting. God's Word is challenging, is encouraging. The list goes on and on. But tonight, the title of this, the subtitle of my this part of the scripture in my Bible says, Living is Christ. And I'm kind of going to address the thing tonight where you hear me talk about, you know, when we desire to go home to be with the Lord, we're not supposed to have a fatalistic approach, meaning a desire to go out and do something foolish so that you die. What this means is we understand, as Paul was, you know, basically just mentioning in this, hey, my desire is to depart. You know, when you, and I notice this, the older I get, and I would say this is also true for most people, the older you get, the more you realize the physical battle that's occurring. You wake up, and as the decades go by, it gets more difficult in the morning. It's like an old machine that has to get up and get going, and the body hurts. You know, you've got joints that are aching, and I'll be honest, Monday and Tuesday were tough for me because of my joints. I don't know what happened with the weather and what it must have been, the front coming through. Man, it was a painful day. I have patients. You know, one of them turned 100 yesterday, and at that point in life, Ecclesiastes, remember in Ecclesiastes I preached about a few months ago when I was, you know, remember your creator in the days of your youth before, remember? There is no joy, basically, when life, you lose a lot of the joy in living because you realize this old body, all the pain, the struggles, the heartaches, and this person that I was taking care of was a little less than enthusiastic about life. And that's a battle the older you get. So I think what this really refers to is, you know, as Paul's getting older, he's been persecuted and he's been imprisoned, he's been beaten, and I would guarantee you that Paul's body hurt. He was struggling and he was realizing that the prize was not now, the prize was before him. And his desire was to go and claim the prize. But yet at the same time, we have work to do. And living for Christ is what we've been created to do. God has created us to fulfill the created purpose for our life, to glorify Him and to do His good pleasure, His will. But ultimately, the desire for us should be to go home. Not wrong, meaning not prematurely, doing something foolish that ends up costing us our life. Not jumping off a cliff and saying, oh God, if it's my time, I'm going to die, and if not, you'll save me. No, that's foolish. That's tempting God. But what I want to encourage you in tonight is that living for Christ is life. In this life, no matter what battle we have, what struggle we have, what mountain we may climb, God knows every bit of it. And His promise for believers is that what? All things work together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. No matter what the exit strategy God has for us, you and I right now, whether it's going to be a diagnosis with a cancer one day, whether it's a heart attack, or whether you die full of years, as you hear in the scripture, right? It was full of years and basically died in their sleep. That's what everybody's desire is. But at the end of the day, is it your desire or is this God's will? You know, I want my life to be a life that's lived and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And just hopefully tonight encourages you to remember to keep your eyes on the finish line. Keep your eyes on the prize. We are running a race. This is not a marathon. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And we have to finish this. Falling out at the end of the race is not an honorable way to end up in his presence. Amen? That's not the way we want to do it. I'll be honest, my desire for everybody that I know and don't know is to finish strong. And the older you get, you understand more about what that means. It's harder when you're young. I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. I was talking to somebody about time yesterday or Monday, and you know, it's really hard when you're young because a month seems like a year. Does anybody else remember that? In the summertime, you know, all year long in school, it was years. And how in the world could you ever make, I can't believe I have a whole year ahead. Now, I'm already getting ready for Christmas. Y'all heard me talk about it. Because time is just fleeting. But the moments are passing from you and from me, right? All the songs reference this. We know from Scripture the brevity of life, the shortness of life. It is a vapor, and it's not any given week that goes by that somebody where I am down there on Mondays and Tuesdays has not gone. As a matter of fact, I was surprised a couple had gone that I had no clue would have. But there is nothing that is certain about life, is there? There's nothing certain. We have no promises. The promise we have is, hey, we've got this moment, and we're not promised five more moments after that. So I just pray that we'll live in light of that, living our life as a beacon of hope, as a light in the darkness that surrounds us. We can be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. And the light that shines, the light of Christ, should shine ever brighter in our lives. And if you think about it, just imagine going out in the field out here and each one of us having a candle. You know, you can see us from a long way off, can't you? That little light can have a huge effect on the darkness, but we've got to be willing to take and set our light on a lampstand and not, as the old little song as I was a child said, hide it under a bushel. What? No, I'm going to let it shine. Are you shining the light of Christ in light of the call of Christ? Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple maker? Are you in any way engaging somebody and growing them spiritually? And see, this is the big thing now. I'm going to be perfectly honest. People don't have time. Anybody in here have time? Yeah, you better not raise your hand. I'll have you busy before you know it. But I'll tell you what everybody does. You can speak a narrative. If I don't have my phone, I was going to grab it and show you. You can do a narrative text in a phone and speak it and send a mass. You can disciple somebody through a phone. There's only one thing that's preventing you from doing it if you're not doing it. Anybody know what that is? It's a willingness to do it. I can't put the will in you to do that. Older ladies and gentlemen in here, I'm going to tell you what Scripture says. You guys should be yoked up with younger ones. And I'm just going to tell you, if you feel guilty about it, don't get mad at me, because that's what the Bible tells you to do. And if you're not doing it, I want to encourage you to start. You talk to one of these young ladies and say, hey, could I text you? If you don't text, that's fine. Call them. How about getting together once a month for a cup of coffee and sitting down? Well, what do I say? You've been on this road a lot longer than they have. You don't even have a whole lot to say. How about listening? Hey, how are you doing? By the way, how about even better? How can I pray for you? My mother, I talked to her on the way to work Monday morning. Every Monday morning, my brother on Tuesday. You know what she says to me every Monday morning when we get ready to hang up? She says, how can I pray for you this week? You know, if you're a senior saint in here and you yoke with one of these younger ones, if nothing more, you can call them on the phone on Monday mornings like I do for about 5 minutes, and you can ask them at the end of that, how can I pray with and for you? And then you know what you can do? You can pray with them, and imagine what an encouragement that would be to a younger person, that somebody was not only willing to do that, but you chose to do that for somebody and make an impact on their lives. I will promise you, there'll be a whole lot more weeping one day when you go home to be with Jesus, because they're going to know that there's one less person praying for them. But again, you have to have the will and desire to do that. I can trumpet it up here all day long, Wednesday night after Sunday morning after Sunday night, and the only thing that I can't do is force you to do what God's commanded us to do. And we're supposed to do that. So I pray that if you're not in any way, again, it's not some big, you don't have to have some big concerted effort. All it takes is a little bit of effort to say, you know what, I'm going to offer that. Hey, you know, I've noticed I'm a senior saint, and I don't have anybody I'm encouraging, and would you like me to encourage you? Would you like me to pray for you? You know what you're going to find out in this church? You're not going to have anybody that goes, no, I got plenty of people praying for me, thank you, but no thank you. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to see one of them ultimately come to tears because you cared enough to ask them, so, hey, can I call you once a week, once a month, twice a month? You figure that out. That's between you and the Lord. How about once every 10 days? And say, hey, how can I pray for you? Oh, and then you'll hear them, you know what? Oh, you know, I've just had a tough week. I've been struggling a little bit. You know what? I remember those times. And you can share your struggle with them. Or say, you know, I remember those years growing up and raising the kids, and you feel like it's never going to, you know, you feel like you're never going to sleep, or you're worried about your children, whatever it might be. Imagine, though, the insight that you can share and the blessing that you can project in the lives of one of those younger people, those younger moms, ladies, and one of those younger men, guys. We got a church full of them, but we have to have the desire to do that. And I would encourage you to do that, because you might say, well, I don't know. You're sitting there otherwise and going, I don't know what I can do for the Lord. Anybody can do that, because I know for a fact there's not a person in this church right now that doesn't have a phone, whether it's a home phone or a cell phone. And it's not real hard. When you pick that up, you're not even having to look at them and feel awkward in front of them. You just have to get on that phone, and as you do unto the Lord, have a passion to say, hey, how can I pray for you? Write down what they say, pray for them, and then the next time you talk to them, hey, I've been praying for this. Is there any change in this? How can we better pray that in a more targeted way? Who else do we want? Let your list be endless, because it will encourage one of those younger people that right now, whether you know it or not, some of them are probably fighting with struggles that you couldn't even imagine. Maybe battling depression, there's no telling what people are battling, but they need others to walk with them. And I just want to encourage you in that tonight. Hope you found Philippians chapter 1. We'll look at verses 21 through 26. And if you're able physically tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I am torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the privilege we have to be here. Father, hide me behind the cross tonight, Lord, so that you may move in hearts as only you can. Father, may you be glorified in everything said and done, Lord, not only in this assembly, but all over the globe. Pray that you would draw ones to yourself, that ones would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We commit all this to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So verse 21 again. So, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, Paul can't speak for somebody else, as you can't. Ultimately, what would happen with a person if they look like a duck, smell like a duck, but they're not a duck, meaning they're not a believer? You can't say, you know what, it'd be so amazing one day when they're set free from the human realms. You don't know. Just like I don't know. God's the only one that knows the heart. We can see fruit and things of that nature, but the only one that we can ultimately attest to is ourselves. So I know tonight, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what Paul's saying right there. He can speak to himself, and that's what he's speaking to. But the first thing that I'm going to share with you tonight is this. We gain it all in death. What do we gain? We go from the brokenness of this world, we go from the constraints of this world that is constrained by cancer and heart disease and bad backs and bad knees and all of these different diseases, processes that occur to the human body, and all of these things that, as we sit at home, people disappearing from houses, right, from yards when people are out playing, to people getting abducted, and there's not a day that goes by that we're not hearing about wars, and we're hearing about rumors of wars, and there's a tornado, and there's a flood, and I could go earthquakes, and we can go on. What, they had one in New York this week, right? I'm just trying to remember my time. It feels like it's been a year, but at the same time, it feels like it's been 10 minutes. Isn't that ironic that in the last week, we've heard of two earthquakes? You know that there's been many more than that? We've only heard about the two. The birth pangs are getting much closer together. Very excited because even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We gain it all, though, in death. We are doing nothing now more than running a race, spiritually speaking. We are going to cross the line one day. You know, there's a potential that we could all cross it together. As bad as I wanted to, I read this thing, and I so wanted to do this. Go buy a couple thousand blow-up people, fill them with helium, and when the eclipse happened the other day, let them all off at the same time all over town. Now, you don't think there'd be a revival, do you? Especially for people that didn't have a clue that it'd be too late if that was occurring. Amen? Had 1,000 people get saved in the middle of an eclipse in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Nobody knows why. Amen. But as a believer, we could one day all go together. I hope that all would go together. But again, I can only speak for myself. We can see the footprints of Christ, but we know from Scripture that many will come on that day, and do we not cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead? But see, we gain it all in death. We are freed from this old life. The old order is going to pass away, and all things are going to be new. No more death, no more night, no more pain, no more heartache. I'm not going to get another call that someone's lost something, lost a loved one, tragically or abruptly. I'll be honest with you, that's what I'm looking forward to most of all. I don't like surprises. Anybody else? Don't like surprises. I read every day, and I see every day people who had no clue that in a few short hours they would no longer be walking on this terrestrial ball. It's heartbreaking. Just a story that Eddie shared with us earlier of one of his workers. You never know. So therefore, we should be busy about the Lord's business, living as Christ, but also recognizing for us, living is Christ. We are living out His purpose. We are living out the divinely created life if we're in obedience, that God literally, Scripture talks about Him preordaining that for us. What does it say? The works that He prepared for us in advance. That's what is so amazing and so wild. I've mentally thought about this a lot the more that it happens. You know, I'll end up being somewhere, right, when somebody who needs to talk is there, and you have this conversation, and I'm able to think about a conversation as I'm having a conversation, so I'm inside going, God, this is really weird. This is wild. You are so cool in your ability to do this, and I know that this is not of me, and I know this is of You, but it's so ironic how the pieces, quote-unquote, just fall into place. No, they don't fall into place. God puts them into place. I call it divine providence. When you and I end up in front of someone just at the right moment, whether it's a mother that's facing homelessness, or a neighbor who's struggling with something, or a person that you end up accidentally calling you, that you end up having a conversation with who is struggling, and you end up being able to minister to them. God is amazing in His unlimited ability to work all things together for good. And then I go back to the puzzle, because that happens due to the fact that He is the peace placer. If we're yielding our peace to Him, what we're saying is, God, I don't know where I need to be today, but You do. Place me. God, stick me where I need to be today for Your glory. And He does that. If we're yielded to Him. If you're living Christ. It's easy to be a follower of Christ living outside of God's providential control. You know what, Lord? I don't want to go work on some woman's house on Saturday and give my day there. I don't have no hour. I don't have five. I don't have 30 minutes. I'm just staying home and doing my own thing. Easy to say that, isn't it? Imagine one day when it's you. You know, everybody don't think about that sometimes. And all those years ago when I got hurt, I was the one that needed it. And remember, I was one nobody needed to help me. Nobody helps me. Nobody does nothing for me. That was my arrogant male persona that God had to break. Anybody else ever struggled with that? Guys, we have an inordinate pride in that respect sometimes. It's so deep, it's not even funny. Hey, we want to help somebody. We don't want them to help us. Oh, no, I got everything under control. Living as Christ, you ready for this? Is recognizing that you deprive someone of a blessing when you don't allow others to minister to your need. Did you hear that? When you say, I don't need that. No, here you can have that money back. I'll work it out. What you do when you do that is, God laid that on somebody's heart. So when you say thanks but no thanks, what you've done is deprived them of the ability to do what God had impressed on them. And by the way, when somebody comes to me and that's happened, I tell them, listen, God's going to bless you because your heart was all the way at the right spot. You were exactly where you needed to be. And God's going to bless you. The other person's the one that God will deal with, and you just let that go. Because people usually struggle with feeling very hurt because they wanted to help someone, and yet someone said, no, nobody, I take care of my own business. But see, God's given us the ability, and if God leads us to an area to minister to somebody, He's wanting to use us for His glory to bless another brother or sister, whether that's just even in prayer and encouragement. Hey, taking that time to call a younger ladies, you older ladies, yoking up with one of these younger ladies and calling them and ministering to them, you don't understand the gift that that is to one of those younger people. But then what you don't even realize now is you don't even know the gift that it will be to you. Why? Because you're able to be used of the Lord in a way that you think and I believe can feel inconsequential. That's not a big deal. People are too busy. They don't have time for that. Again, I promise you, you text somebody or you call them and say, hey, how can I pray for you? They're not going to say, listen, I'm kind of busy. I don't have time for you. I assure you, they're not going to say that. But you have to have, again, that willingness to do it. Being part of the body of Christ is realizing that we are a body made up of many members. God has given us this huge body of Christ here. And that's what's really awesome about Longview. If there's a need that needs to be met, Longview's really good at meeting a need. And that's a blessing. Amen? But there's so many more needs we could all be a part of meeting for each other. And I'm not even talking about financial and things. I'm talking about those prayer needs. Genuinely praying for someone. Genuinely encouraging someone. I send out that text every morning between 6:30 and 7 o'clock. I know people that are in this church that have their own list that after I send that, they send it to their list. Maybe you're in here right now and that text has stopped with you. Ask some of the friends that you have in your network that wouldn't be on my text, hey, would you mind me sending you a verse every morning? It doesn't bother me if you send the verse that I send to you to someone else. I'd be blessed by that. Amen? God's word will not return void. Take the opportunity to invest in little things like that, because what you can do is capitalize on your time, and it just takes a second. Again, the only thing you need to have is the desire to do that. But what a blessing. And I will tell you, in the 16 years over now that I've been doing this, do you know what's happened? I cannot tell you the number of people that have texted me, and you can tell the emotion in the very text that they sent and said that text came at just the right moment, and that verse was exactly the thing that I was battling, struggling with, or the encouragement. I can't tell you the number of things that I've heard over the years. I've been cursed because of those texts. When you change your phone number and don't tell me, I know at least three times now I have been cursed. I'm not joking. I'm talking about cursed. Big time. So let me know when you change your phone number. But see, for us, that's a blessing. Somebody who's in rebellion against God, they don't take it like we do. Oh, I'm so thankful somebody's sending me a text. No, 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 no. It's 6:30 to 7 o'clock in the morning. The last thing you want is a word of God when you're in rebellion to truth. So those are the things, though, that we can do. I'm giving you little indicators right now to live as Christ and to live is Christ. These are things that, are overt acts that we can do to encourage one another, challenge one another, and to live as Christ. Listen to verse 22 and 23 again. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. Because why? I am torn between the two. I long to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. But I'll stop there. So I'm torn between these two. What's he saying? He's saying, man, I know what's coming. I know what's ahead. And I long to be there. I want to be with Christ. Who wouldn't want to? By the way, to me, that speaks so much to the fact that under the new covenant, we're not in soul sleep. Paul would not have said, I just desire to get out of here and sleep. Scripture says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So if you're sleeping, you're not in his presence with him, right? You're sleeping. Who in the world in here would go, I just want to die so I can just sleep and stop being able to share Christ, stop being able to be a testimony for Christ, stop being able to be a witness for Christ in the lighthouse? I don't. I want to serve the Lord and honor the Lord until I'm transported in his presence one day. What did he say to the thief on the cross? Today what? What day? You know what that meant? Today. You will be with me in paradise. So that's what's beautiful. The day that we breathe our last breath, in a transformative second, we'll be in God's presence. And it's going to be awesome. But until then, we have work to do. Don't focus. It's fine to think about heaven. It's fine to think about eternity. I think it's wonderful. I think it's an encouraging thing. Just be careful in it. Don't get a fatalistic. Don't let a depressive episode get you, I just want to die. Because that's not a healthy type of thought process. Now, to understand that, yes, I want to go be in the Lord's presence one day. But God, I want to finish the race. I want to continue being a testimony. I want to win as many people to Christ as I can before that day. God, don't let depression, God, don't let these other things that are trying to hinder my ability to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, don't let the enemy railroad me in foolishness, Father, and miss opportunities to fellowship with his people, to be encouraged and ministering to someone that, hey, not even a member of our church. What a blessing, amen? We want a member to minister to people of our church, but also minister to those people that God places you in front of. They're opportunities. They are things that God has given us the privilege of being a part of. And the second thing, you ready? We have work to do. Heaven can wait. What does that mean? I promise you, if your house is finished in heaven and it's time, you wouldn't be here. Heaven can wait until what? Your time to go. You ever heard people say, they just need so-and-so up there because then they'll have this choir because so-and-so's there, and so trust me, they're going to be okay. I promise you, amen? They're going to be okay. You've got a job to do. I've got a job to do. We have a work to do. What work? The one that God has preordained for us. Those people that you and I are going to run into that you never understand about. And when we get railroaded in our thought process, a dear pastor friend of mine, we're talking today, and we're talking about how the distractions and diversions get people so off focus. And that's the big thing that the enemy loves, because when he gets us distracted and diverted, he accomplishes his goal. We often think, I got to go out there, if I'm going to really mess up, I'd have to get involved in addiction or this, that. Oh, no. No, you can be a disobedient Christian that is distracted and diverted by some foolishness. You will be zero to the kingdom because you're distracted and you're diverted. You won't see that person in line that needs to be encouraged or needs to say, hey, how are you doing today? And then they start bawling. And 30 minutes later, after you've had a conversation and been able to encourage them and pray for them, they're able to leave and say, I'm so thankful. No, when you're distracted or diverted, do you ever ask that in the first place? No. We walk in there like that. We don't want to make eye contact with somebody. Why? Because we're not in the mood for it. You understand what I'm talking about when we're distracted and diverted again? It's really easy to do. And we have to fight that because I understand that more than anybody. When you get tired, you get spiritually worn out, it's really easy to get distracted and get diverted. We've got to stay focused on the prize, focused on the ministry at hand that God has blessed us with, because by the way, it's a blessing. Even when we suffer for the Lord, the Bible says, consider yourself blessed that you've suffered for His name, for the name. Suffering for Christ is a gift, the gift of suffering. Who experienced the gift of suffering? Job, Paul, Silas, Stephen. The list goes on. Korah, not. That was rebellion. That was sin. Ananias and Sapphira, not. That was rebellion. That was sin. I could go on. What about Gehazi? I forget his name. You know what I'm talking about? With Elijah, remember? Oh, runs back. Elijah says, we don't want nothing. He told me, by the way. So he gives him those items. But Elijah says, where you been? Oh, nowhere. I've been nowhere. He said, this isn't time for that. What ended up happening? What'd he get? The leprosy that, was it Naaman? It had. Anybody can get caught in a mess. I'm not talking about the mess that we make or we get involved in. I'm talking about spiritually suffering for doing the right thing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, we can go on and on and on. Mordecai, remember Mordecai? Remember Haman? Haman's so wicked, so self-centered, so prideful, was trying to get the Jewish people killed, trying most notably to get Mordecai killed. The very gallows he builds for Mordecai, Haman was hung on those very gallows himself. God is faithful. God's going to open up opportunities in ministry. We just have to trust Him. We've got to be faithful. We have to have a ministry mindset. We have to remember this right here. Living is Christ. Everything that I do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. You can go to the grocery store and minister for Christ. You realize that? As long as your mind and your heart is, God, open up opportunities. I go in the grocery store. I will have no idea who these people are going to be, but God, let me see these opportunities when you present them to me. God, keep me focused. Let me ask that question. Let me say good morning. Let me have the joy of the Lord on my face and in my heart when I am there. God, let me be a testimony of the redemptive work of Christ everywhere that I go so that the world might see Christ in me. But we've got to have, again, that overt act of our will. We have to pray that. We've got to focus on that. When you young, older ladies or older men are ministering to a younger one, you start praying, hey, God, prepare me as I make that text or that call to say exactly what they need to hear at that moment. God, let me pray effectively for this brother or sister in Christ so that they can see the blessing of what it's been with me on the road all these decades more than them. God, let me be an encouragement to them. Let drop a card in the mail to them. Hey, praying for you. Know that I'm here for you in Christ. Love you. And sign the bottom of it. Doesn't take that much. It just takes that initial investment in deciding that we're going to do what God's commanded us to do. And then, let's see, we got 24 through the end there. Ready? Here we go. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. So for the ministry, for those people that he's ministering to. Since I'm persuaded of this, I know that I'll remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound. So Paul's addressing the very mission field, the people that he's ministering to. He realizes these people, this is why I don't want to depart. These people that God has given me to minister to, if I was to check out, if God was to take me home prematurely because I just decided that I wanted to go and God said, yes, I'll take you home, Paul. He realizes these very people he's discipling, he's ministering to, this mission field to him, they need him. And he realizes that. Guess what? We're the same as Paul. Your mission field needs you. Men, ladies, those younger brothers and sisters need you. If you haven't been doing it, you can't say, but Paul, so you don't even realize there's such a need. Maybe tonight's the first time you've realized it. They need you. And you got to care enough to do it. You can't check out spiritually. We can't check out and say, hey, I'm leaving that to the younger generation now because the scripture calls us to. Third and final thing. Let your testimony boast of God's goodness. Imagine sitting down with a younger person and saying, let me share a time in my life when I just didn't know. Maybe it's in the late 70s with the oil embargo. Remember that? 20% interest on houses. Y'all remember that? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anybody back then remember how astronomical the thought of being able to buy a home during those times was? And the payments on those, yeah, they weren't what they cost today, but it's still the same principle. These were hurdles. When you were waiting in line to get gas, these were hurdles. You don't know what's going to happen. You can share those stories with these younger people. Share the story about God's faithfulness in your life, because maybe they don't have a mom or a dad that's able to do that, or maybe they don't have a believing family to have those conversations, but hearing how God was faithful in somebody else's life is so encouraging to recognize that what is their one thing about God? He's consistent in his character. Amen? He doesn't change. So if God is faithful to you senior saints, all the years that you've been walking with Christ, you know what that younger person can ascertain, can take from that conversation? That God is not going to break with the consistency of his character, and he will be faithful to them. And even in your prayer, God, give them the strength. Father, right now, I can't even imagine being a younger couple or a younger person right now in this economy. I heard it, what's the old saying? They said the 20, or 60 is the new 20 in age. 20 is the new $100 bill when you go to the store. It made a lot of sense. You want to pray effectively for young people? Just realize, I couldn't imagine, and I think this myself for young people, I couldn't imagine right now trying to start out. You know what they need? They need us to walk with them and to encourage them and to let them realize not only the goodness of God, but God's faithfulness. God's not going to let you drown. God's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And I'm going to tell you, look at these scriptures. Send them these scriptures. Encourage them in the Word. Encourage them in prayer. Encourage and challenge them that, hey, there's days that I know you feel overwhelmed with everything, but I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to encourage you. Hey, live to live is Christ. Keith Green's song, I can't say it enough. Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words and no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your Son you sent to save us from ourselves in our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. So I want to die and let you give your life to me so I might live and share the hope you gave to me. I want to share the love that set me free. Think about that. The whole entire picture right there is, God, let my life be lived as a prayer. Meaning, I want to give of myself as a reflection of you to the people that you put me in front of. Let my life literally be a prayer to you in what I do. Think about that, though. The actions prompted, compelled, and led by God. Because if you're praying a prayer, how about praise, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication? Let your life literally be a prayer. Live your life for Christ without restraint. Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. Give him glory. Stand in the power of the Holy Spirit that leads, that guides, that directs. There is no perfect love casts out all fear. That's the God we serve. And I hope tonight that you are living as Christ and in Christ and wondering and recognizing that one day to live as Christ, to die is gain. God, let me run this race faithfully. Let us finish strong. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, tonight, Lord, for the beauty of your word, the challenge of it. Father, I just pray tonight we'll realize that we can do so much more for the kingdom when we're truly actively engaged in a deliberate effort to live out the call of a disciple, Father, not just bouncing from one thing to another in the hopes that we will land where and do what you need us to do. God, you're at work everywhere around us, Lord, and you've already given us your word that speaks to the very aspects of ministry that all of us are involved in. Lord, we are all missionaries. We are all pastors. We are all encouragers. We just have to decide that we're going to be obedient and do what your word already commands us to do. Father, during this invitation tonight, Lord, if there are things that need to be dealt with, need to be committed to you, Lord, maybe people that we have not thought about tonight, you've put on our minds and our hearts, Lord, or maybe just tonight, a decision to commit to walking with and ministering to a younger brother or sister in Christ. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that whatever it is you're doing, we would yield ourselves to that. If there's things that need to be confessed as sin, Lord, maybe even apathy or indifference, Father, confess it for the sin that it is. And Father, rededicate our lives to you tonight. Whatever it is that's hindering, pray that you would remove that from us. Lord, restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Let us be lighthouses. Father, let us be raging fires of truth, Lord, that the world may see Christ lived out in our lives. If there's one here watching online that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray tonight would be the night that they recognize they're a sinner in need of a Savior. They confess their sin, place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and ask you to be the Savior and Lord of their life. Lord, I just pray most of all, Lord, that you would be glorified, honored, lifted up, preeminent in everything. And we ask this in Jesus' precious and righteous and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.